1041 Action News, your new home of the Chiefs.
Auburn, open, catch, touchdown.
Jacobs cutting back, getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on fourth down and one.
So, anyways, with that, time, George.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, how you feeling? I know that there was some disturbing images on Twitter after Travis Kelce's brother had a baby. I know that it had you pretty shook up. Have you recovered?
I wish I'd never thought of that image or seen that image, but there I was seeing it on the Twitter.
Well, the funny thing is, like, I actually have a picture of you as a young football player that sits with the pictures of my two children. So a lot of people in the office think that you're my son, but in that it was flipped in the image that Carl Hungus posted on or at Tank This posted on the old tweeters.
Yeah. What did you bribe my mom with to get the photo from her?
Nothing. I just bought a house. I used her when I was buying a house.
So she got a closer's fee out.
That's right. That's right.
That's all I'm worth is that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all it took.
Oh, okay. Well, we all have our goals in life.
So no, but yeah, good times. Good times.
Yeah, it's something, all right.
So, hey, does this feel like a playoff week to you since the last time the Chiefs played the Colts, it was in the playoffs?
No, it doesn't.
Does it feel like a playoff week to you because this game is on 41 Action News and you've had to do extra stuff this week to get ready for it?
No, I haven't had to do anything extra yet.
Oh.
Normal work.
Okay.
0 for 2, Todd.
All right. So still just cutting water main VOs, huh?
You know it, man.
All right. Well, good time. Anyway, if you didn't know, Chiefs play the Colts on Sunday Night Football. The game will be on 41 Action News.
And
BJ Kissel really wants you to download the Chiefs app so that you can participate in a light up Arrowhead beforehand. So,
in all fairness, I think the whole organization wants that.
Well, but I saw BJ is the face of it with the video showing you how easy it is to do it.
So. It was. I was able to follow it. So if I can follow it, you can definitely follow it.
There you go. Yeah. Nick Jacobs approves of at Chiefs reporters' instructions on how to light up Arrowhead.
Good job, BJ.
Are you going to try to light up Arrowhead from the sky? Center on Sunday?
How did you know? I'm going to try to get the whole newsroom to do that.
All right, that'll be fun. I wonder if it'll even work if we're not actually in the stadium.
I mean, we can turn up the Nats and maybe it'll work.
That's
with
true.
It.
That's true.
If the feed's working at that,
we're doing it. We're doing it. Because
it's going to be the most amazing five light display in the newsroom you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. No, Sky Center. Like, someone will get blinded in Sky Center. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be completely amazing. So, obviously, last time the Chiefs played, toughest game of the season by far. I don't think that people would have expected the toughest game in September to be at Detroit. I think, in fact, a lot of people thought that may be one of the easier games because Oakland always plays them tough at Jacksonville in the season opener. Mm-hmm. When Jacksonville, is motivated and had a new quarterback, you figured that was going to be a little bit tougher.
Right.
And home game against Baltimore, who everybody expects to be a playoff contender, you thought those three games would be a little more rigorous than the Lions, but it turned out, were it not for, a heads up play by Bashaud Breeland and more heroics from Patrick Mahomes on a fourth quarter, leading a fourth quarter touchdown drive and converting fourth and eight with his legs, things like that, the Chiefs would have limped back from Detroit with a loss. So what do you hope the Chiefs learn from that game so that that you don't go into cardiac arrest this weekend or in the coming weeks?
That's a unique way to put it. Come for the football, stay for the cardiac arrest.
That's right.
No, I think above anything else, the thing that I hope they take away from it is that they can evolve no matter what the situation is, and that they can they collectively as a team can overcome some situations and make adjustments and do what's necessary. They needed a game like that to remind themselves that they don't have to put up video game numbers every single week and have a dominant quarter, but as long as you continue to believe in yourself and you guys continue to battle together, and if you saw the franchise, the 65 toss power trap thing that they did and showed Mahomes on the sidelines there and some of the stuff he was saying and Kelce and some of those guys overall, you kind of see that this team, they bought in, they all believe in one another, and they all do what they can to help bring each other up in a lot of regard.
And if you haven't seen it, Mahomes is kind of on the sideline telling the guys, hey, we just got to be ourselves, and really an impassioned speech. And it was even safe for TV. I mean, he wasn't even dropping a lot of F-bombs. Would you respond better to that style or Eric Bieniemy's?
I don't care.
Were you ready to run through a wall for Patrick Mahomes, too, I guess is what I...
Yeah, I tweeted that and everything.
Yeah,
I was going to do it.
He also when I reached out to him one night, and he told me that he was watching that video on repeat and crying.
Reached out to who?
To you, Nick Jacobs.
I literally never said that to you.
I have a text message. I'll send a screen capture of the text message.
Are you going to get one of your family members, like your son, with his cell phone to?
He's 11. He doesn't have a cell phone. Name? Yeah, he doesn't have a cell phone. He's 11. And no, I'm going to have one of the members of the digital team do it.
You digital people and your ideas.
That's right. Hey, let's hear from Mahomes real quick on making adjustments.
I think it goes off the coverage, and Coach Reed does a great job of talking through every single coverage on almost every single route. And so there's times where they're cutting off their route and changing their route kind of on the fly, but we've talked about it before, and we've worked that look in practice so that I know they're going to do that, and I can throw that to them and trust that they're going to make that adjustment on the fly.
How often would you say that happens?
It happens a lot, and I feel like that's one of the reasons why this offense is hard. It's hard to stop is because we're not necessarily running just what the lines say. We're kind of basing it off the coverages, and Coach Reed's explaining it to us during the week and putting us in those situations to execute at a high level.
So that's Patrick Mahomes talking about how route adjustments, site adjustments, things like that, when they're on offense, that can be really challenging for the defense. But as we saw last week, it can be challenging for the offense sometimes, too, if they're not quite on the same page.
Well, but they got on the same page when it mattered.
Yeah, down the stretch. But early in the game, I mean, do you think that's probably explains why there were a couple times where Watkins cut in instead of taking it vertical, and where the pass to Mecole was a little bit off when Mecole Hardman went a little more vertical than Mahomes was expecting him to? Do you think that's what was going on there?
I think that was a factor with it, and also some of the pressure. I think he a couple times wasn't at where he wanted to be on a spot occasionally to be able to throw that. So it's a combination of things, but they needed to go through that because you'll see that again come playoff time.
So it's going to be an odd sight, by the way, because there's a guy who plays for the Colts. He's not wearing number 50 anymore, but one day, first of all, let me ask, is Justin Houston going to be in the Chiefs Ring of Honor one day?
I can't remember where he's at career sack-wise, but, I mean, he's certainly in the conversation of it. So,
Would you put him in if it was up to you?
Again, I don't remember his overall sack number, so I think it'd have to be
Basic
barometer.
Impression of his career. I mean,
when you're comparing him to Derek Thomas and some of the other people, like Tom, by putting it, because Tom did it for a decade and dominated, and obviously Derek Thomas deserves it. But, I mean, for Justin, yeah, he was a good run defender, but there are some times where you needed him to take over a game. And the Denver Broncos won Week 9 back in 2015, I think, whenever they beat him for the first time, like on 15 or 16, Simeon was the quarterback. That was the time where, like, you expected to see that on a regular basis, and occasionally got that type of stuff.
Yeah, and injuries obviously derailed. That knee injury really derailed
what he could have been. Yeah. Correct, yeah.
So, but still, it's going to be interesting to see him in a Colts uniform coming back here. I expect him to be pretty motivated to try to turn Patrick Mahomes into a pancake.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be motivated, but what I saw in Coach's film, he still can't change direction anymore. His lateral movement's not what it used to be.
No, he's still physical, still an asset against the run, but the whole Colts pass rush, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, the whole Colts pass rush ain't great. But let's hear from a couple of the guys. Houston returning to town is a big deal. So let's hear from Mahomes, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and one of his former protégés, Tano Passanio, on Houston and his impact and his return.
I mean, it's gonna be really cool to get to play against him. I mean, obviously he was a great player for this organization for a long time and still a great player now. So hopefully he's not hitting me too much, but hopefully I get to talk to him a little bit on the other side of the football.
You know, my English is not good enough to talk. Or whatever. I'll just focus on blocking my guy.
I'm gonna see if he does something else. He's had his one move for years and it's worked. I mean, if it doesn't, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know. So I'm gonna definitely say what's up to him.
All right. So that was Patrick Mahomes, LDT. I'm not gonna pronounce it again. I did it on the before. If you want to hear it, go back to that. And at Tano Passanio, can you spell it?
What?
K pass.
Yeah.
But anyway, are you excited to see?
I've done it on Twitter many a times before. If you need,
I didn't know if you had to look it up every time you did it.
No, it's K-P-A-S-S-A-G-N-O-N, I believe.
Capassigno. Kapasanon?
Tano Kapasanyo. That's how the pronunciation goes.
So anyway.
Good job, Todd.
So, is it going to be strange seeing him? Is this going to be on the same level as Jamal Charles coming back in a Denver Broncos uniform for you?
No, it won't be the same level. And plus, I don't know, Justin, it'll be interesting to see what Justin's able to do pass rush-wise. I mean, run defense, they're going to have to double-team him if they want to move him because he's still a strong, stout guy off the edge. But we'll see what he does pass rush-wise.
Some good news for the Chiefs, definitely, is they seem to be getting healthy. Damian Williams came back to practice. He's been dealing with the ankle injury since early in the season. And then you also had Morris Claiborne working in there at cornerback. And then some wide receiver came back this week, too.
Yeah, some wide receiver. I was wondering where you're going to finally bring up Tyreek Hill.
Oh, is that who it was?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, so Tyreek Hill back. Do you expect him to play this week? I mean, he's been at practice.
Which one? Which one?
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek, no. I think this is, with him not being able to practice, probably easily a month in conditioning-wise, you really don't want to put him out there. You want him to have 2 to 3 weeks of practice under his belt before you put him back out there. I'd still, if I'm them, I wouldn't feel comfortable until the Packers game to put him back out there.
And obviously, he got hurt. Tyreek Hill got hurt in the season opener at Jacksonville, had a sternoclavicular joint injury. So didn't require surgery, but basically it's a dislocation where your collarbone goes, gets separated from the sternum where it's supposed to be. And it can be very dangerous. He spent the night overnight in the hospital, but we've seen him. He looks like, all the reports are, he's on track or maybe even ahead of schedule for where he should be in the recovery. But I don't know that I think you want to give it as much time as possible to make sure he doesn't re-aggravate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and what about Damian Williams? He suffered the ankle injury against Oakland.
Knee contusion.
Do you expect him to be back? And how much can that help the offense?
I mean, it gives him a speed back off the edge in terms of receiving. So in that regard, he could help off tackle and some of the cutbacks whenever he is available from his knee bruise. So we'll see.
And then Morris Claiborne, obviously, he's been suspended 4 weeks, coming over from the Jets. Don't know where he is in terms of being able to play at game speed. Don't really have any idea of where he is in terms of his knowledge, understanding of Steve Spagnuolo's defense. Do you think he'll be able to make a contribution this week? Do you even think he'll be active? Because obviously they cut Jeff Allen to bring him back. I mean, on the active roster. He's going to be available if they want him on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely released Jeff Allen. Didn't physically cut him or anything. Yeah. So,
well, that's you just like stabbing jokes.
Well, you're the one that said it, not me. But anyways, they released Jeff Allen, unfortunately, so that removes a member from their offensive line because I believe they were at 10. So now they'll be down at 9 with Ryan Hunter and Rawkins as the backups. And then
Allegretti.
Allegretti's the other one. That's what I'm thinking of. Okay, so, yeah, I mean, in that regard, it'll be interesting to see how everything goes. But, with Claiborne, I think it's going to be 10 to 15 snaps, if that, if he's out there. I think they're going to gauge what he does in practice this week and go from there. Because if you're expecting him to start 60, 70 snaps, it's just you're asking for like a pulled calf or hamstring from it, so you got to give him a couple weeks to get back up to par.
He is a veteran guy, what's the best case scenario for Morris Claiborne? Is it that he slowly works back in and takes over for Charvarius Ward, or what do you think would be best case scenario for Morris Claiborne joining this defense?
Yeah, no, you want to slowly work him back in over time. You don't want to just say, hey, good luck out there.
Well, but I mean, do you envision him becoming the starter at that position?
Yeah, expect him to replace Charvarius Ward at some point. I think you just got to slowly progress it over time to where, again, ideally that Packers game is where you kind of hope he's taking a majority of the reps at that point.
Now let's hear from the other Chiefs veteran starting cornerback, Bashaud Breeland, about Claiborne and what he's seen from him.
It's going to be fun. I think he got a lot to bring to this team, bring to the table. And I'm just excited, and we all excited they're ready to get him out there with us to make this run to the playoffs.
That was Bashaud Breeland. I think Chiefs fans were very excited in camp when he signed. I think they're less excited now, the impression I get from Twitter, because they feel like after seeing four games, they're more worried about the run defense than they are about the cornerback position. Like they were all through training camp.
Run defense is certainly a concern for some people. Certainly a concern.
So, and
not as much as apparently talking about Jacoby Brissett's.
Well, I mean, look, the Chiefs are probably going to lose because you gave away the tell. But we'll castigate you for that on the other side of this break.
You and your $5 words.
One town, one team, one MVP. This season, a new flame will rise. Get ready, Casey. It's showtime. 41 Action News, your new home of the Chiefs.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza. The season changes, but an accurate forecast doesn't. Gary Lezak and the 41 Action News weather team. Certified most accurate. Available 24/7 on every screen, no matter the season. 41 Action News, Kansas City's weather leader.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. It's the segment where we flog Nick Jacobs for giving away the Chiefs' game plan and their best strategy for beating the Colts. I'm Todd Palmer. I'm joined by Nick Jacobs, whose head is down. I assume in remorse, either that or he's angry that I talked about flogging him. One of the two. Who knows? But anyway, let's talk a little bit about the Colts and offensively. Obviously, this offense has changed completely. You know, when Andrew Luck announced in training camp that he was going to retire. So in what ways has Frank Reich, the coach of the Colts, had to adjust what the Colts do now that Jacoby Brissett's the quarterback instead of Andrew Luck? I mean, do you see some concrete differences from last year in the AFC divisional playoff to what they're doing now?
Not as much as you would think. I mean, they still do some shotgun aspect. I think they probably do a little bit more than they did with Luck, and they obviously have the play action to a certain aspect to where Jacoby, I think that's what he feels comfortable with early on, getting set up to be able to make some of his reads. So,
and he's not exactly the most fleet-footed guy, so sometimes they have to do that just so he can get into his drop, I think.
Comfortably, yes, because, I mean, part of it is that they use, in my opinion, they use play action to help him get comfortable and to feel comfortable overall, and then they have the shotgun if they need to, depending how far they want him to sit back from the snap. So, yeah, you watch Lamar Jackson and then you're like, wow, that's an athletic guy, just elusive quarterback. And then I watched Brissett a couple weeks later and I was like, yeah, not as much.
No, he's not but he does. I mean, he is harder to bring down in the pocket than you'd think for a guy who is somewhat statuesque and you know, lacks mobility. I mean, he's still, he's got some pocket awareness and is able to move around some in the pocket to avoid sacks in certain instances where you thought he was a sitting duck. So he's not a complete statue back there, but it's definitely not the same as what you've seen from even, Derek Carr or Matt Stafford.
Correct.
All right. Well, good talk. Brissett's also a guy, he's really, really sporadic, I think, with his accuracy. And when you're playing zones, you can really bait him. I mean, you saw that the touchdown that lost in the game against Oakland last week was a pick six when, he just got baited into basically throwing, like, he might as well have walked up and handed the ball, to the defensive back. I mean, he's easy to fool in those situations, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, there's looks that you can...
Relatively easy. Probably he's harder to fool than I would be, but...
Yes. I mean, you were a very savvy individual there, Todd. Anyways, back to Brissett. Jacoby is an individual that there's certain looks you can give him that he will feel uncomfortable with. When you're blitzing him, you can overload to one side or the other, and he doesn't have the urgency in the pocket that you would hope for, so you can overwhelm him with that and some of the to where the protections may not be on par with it. And he gives away part of whenever he's getting ready to throw the football, as mentioned in the KSHB.com/Chiefs article. the game plan.
Do you feel bad at all that like the Chiefs have no chance of winning since you put that information out there that he keeps his hand off the ball and pats it when he's decided where he's going instead of when he's changing his read?
I mean, I feel like their advanced scouting department had already seen that, and Steve Spagnuolo and the coaching staff had probably already had a.
You think that the people who were paid professionally to break down film and explain it to the Chiefs coaching staff and the people who are paid professionally to do that for the Colts figured it out too? You don't think they're watching your Twitter for how they want to approach this game?
I think they do their own thing.
Because here, in my mind, Andy Reid doesn't install anything until Thursday when he reads your article.
I think that's wildly inaccurate. Coach Reid is that guy's next level. There's a reason he's won a Super Bowl before with Mike Holmgren.
I was going to say, yeah, not as a coach.
Technically as a coach.
Well, not as a head coach, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not till February 2020.
Certainly hope so.
So, in case you didn't catch on, that was sarcasm. Nick's taking...
we're good.
Nick's taking a couple hits on Twitter from folks out
there.
We're
moving on to Indianapolis.
So, yeah, we're on to Indianapolis. Okay. Let's hear from Bashaud Breeland and Tano Passanio on the Indianapolis Colts offense.
Yeah, you got to prepare the same because he can make all the throws as well. And he brings a more of a scrambling and quarterback mentality than Andrew Luck. He can make plays with his feet, even though he'd rather stay in the pocket and make those throws.
They have their running back, Marlon Mack. He's been killing it for the past couple years. He's a good running back, so... Just watching film on him and how their line moves with him and how he reads different different defenses is kind of crazy. So
that was Bashaud Breeland and Tano Passanio talking about Jacoby Brissett. One thing I noticed too, so it's all or nothing with him. Like he either sits back there forever in the pocket, or there are other times when he will come back, that back foot will hit, and even if he's throwing into triple coverage, he will just throw the ball on time if that's his primary read. And it's like, do you think this could be a big game for Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill? Because I think there's going to be an opportunity for the safeties to make some plays, especially in certain coverages, because of the way Brissett either tells or just makes questionable decisions at times.
Yeah, I certainly think there's going to be many opportunities for the Chiefs secondary to be able to have some interceptions. I think there's going to be a really good chance of that. And then also, I think the pass rush could have a really big day around the edge, and they could get multiple takedowns if they want to.
Is this the best offensive line the Chiefs have faced?
I'm going to be honest, man. I mean, offensive line-wise, they just don't look the same to me as they did last year. It seems like pass protection-wise, they're giving up more around the edge than I anticipated before.
So do you think, is this a game that Frank Clark or Chris Jones could, who do you think steps up big in this one from the defensive line?
I'm hoping everybody.
All right, so you heard it here. Xavier Williams, 7 sacks. He's going to tie Derek Thomas.
Literally
record.
Did not say that.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
I'm just hoping everybody steps up. Okay, Todd?
So what about the Colts defense? I mean, look, I think it's also worth pointing out T.Y. Hilton missed last week with a quadriceps injury. Paris Campbell picked up an abdominal injury.
Here, you want me to go over
in the Raiders game? They both were sat out practice Wednesday. Marlon Mack was limited with an ankle injury late against them. Like, their big time playmakers are all dealing with injuries.
Well, here's the problem for them. And the Thursday, when we're taping this, the Thursday injury report is out now. So Paris Campbell did not practice again on Thursday. Neither did their starting safety Clayton Gathers. T.Y. Hilton was limited today, so that's actually an improvement for them. Malik Hooker did not practice. And he's not going to.
Another safety, yeah.
With the meniscus tear. Yep. That's not going to happen. Then Marlon Mack with his ankle did not practice again, so that's going to be curious to see what happens on Friday in that regard. And then Darius Leonard still limited with a concussion. And then
linebacker, rookie of the year a couple years ago.
Then another one of their quarters, Rocky Sin, popped up with limited practice with a hip injury now. So pretty much their entire secondary is injured. Their star running back's injured, and their two star receivers are injured as well. So It would be.
That's what you want going against Patrick Mahomes, too, is like a mash unit secondary, right?
That's exactly what you want going against that Chiefs offense in general.
So in other words, what we're saying is put the Chiefs players in your starting lineup for fantasy football.
That's not what I'm saying yet.
All right. Okay, but Xavier Williams, definitely start him if you're in a league where you had defensive players.
It's like you don't listen to anything anybody says. I'm sure your wife Angie gets frustrated with you all the time.
Nah, she's got a five-year-old, so she's used to people acting like that.
A five-year-old that probably acts exactly like you.
He is. He's a mini me, except he has less impulse control. So let's talk about that Colts defense. Let's just watch them on film. Not real impressed with their pass rush. They've got some good linebackers, but you know, like you said, the secondary is a mess right now. I mean, We didn't think that the Detroit Lions defense would hold up as well as they did against the Chiefs. You know, we talked a lot during the offseason about how teams were going to have a year to adjust. You know, they were going to have the whole offseason to watch film, to study it, to figure out how the Chiefs were doing certain things and come up with game plans for how they're going to slow down Patrick Mahomes, what looks they were going to give him, and have a chance to really break down what looks gave him the most trouble, things like that. Is that what we've seen the last few first quarters? Where, you know, the Chiefs have gotten off to sluggish starts. Is that what we've seen? Or do you just attribute it to, like, last week there were a lot of turnovers, you know, a lot of fumbles, a lot of self-inflicted wounds there that slowed the offense down? I mean, where do you stand with this? I mean, how much credit do you give defenses? How much credit how much blame goes to the Chiefs offense? And what do you think the Colts' chances are at being able to limit them the way a couple other teams have?
Yeah, I mean, what I think it comes down to is, like you just talked about there, is that you're getting, like we've talked about here on the podcast many times, you're getting every team's best shot. Everything that they prepped for in the offseason for that moment, they're giving you the best that they have. So the Chiefs are getting new wrinkles every week that they may not have expected. But then each time they adjust, whether it's in the second quarter or further on down like it was against the Lions, they always find a way to adjust. And in terms of the Lions game, I mean, the Chiefs made some really good adjustments there, especially after they dealt with some of that stuff early, and they took advantage of a lot of different things. I think where they stumbled, like you said, is whenever they turned the ball over three different times, but the defense picked them up on, I believe, two of those, whenever Nadi knocked that fumble out and Jones recovered, and then when Breland took the one back for a pick, touchdown.
Yeah, give credit to Xavier Williams there.
Yeah, knocked that one out. So, I mean, in general, you love you some Xavier Williams.
He's from Grandview. I gotta give love.
Is that your new Dustin Cole quit?
I gotta give love to my Jackson County kids.
Okay, but the defense rose to the occasion on those incidents, on those times, whenever the occurrences when they had them. So, yeah, no, I think for the Colts' perspective, there's a couple things they're doing scheme wise that I didn't see last year. They're a more traditional cover two, but they're not the same way now. So, I think. They're going to bring a little bit, but yeah, another pass rush. I'm still not a huge fan of their pass rush.
I really thought
in the offseason they were going to put something together. I was going to be like, okay, all right, now they're going, but then they still got work in progress.
Yeah, they still play a lot of zone too. What's the biggest loss for them? Is it Darius Leonard or is it the Malik Hooker, Clayton Gathers?
I think both of them are equal loss because of Malik Hooker. I mean, he's really good back there, and he could bait like Phillip Rivers into that throw where he just athletically could just make a play that it looked wide open, and I thought it was wide open. I was like, oh, that's a touchdown. I was like, oh, okay. He came from out of nowhere. I think he's a big loss, and then obviously Leonard, I mean, he's just a really, really good linebacker.
Tackling machine.
Losing both those guys, I think it's equally deflating for what their defense is capable of.
So, you know, they play a lot of zone though. So do you think this could be a big week for the tight ends, especially on crossing routes and things? I mean, is this another game where, you know, Kelsey could have a big game and maybe, you know, we saw Deion Yelder early when Detroit was playing some zone, carve him up a little bit early in last week's game. Is that possibility again that the tight ends play a big role for the Chiefs?
I think the running backs can. I think the tight ends can. But above all else, I think they just need to, like we talked about in the article, just flood the zones, just overwhelm their zones and make them guess wrong. I mean, the Chiefs did that to them in the playoff game last year. So just do that and you'll be fine.
Yeah, and also misdirection is really effective against this.
Especially with how aggressive they are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they tend to over-pursue, and then that makes them susceptible to...
And that's why Tyreek had that reverse for a touchdown in the playoff game, because of how aggressive they were back then. And they still are.
And we just got to hope that Mecole Hardman has figured out how to not move forward at the snap this week.
We all have our struggles in life, Todd.
All right. So, anything else you want to mention about the Colts defense?
Anything else that I have left to mention? Check out on the article.
Yeah, you can find that at kshp.com/chiefs. Nick Jacobs' game plan is out there, as it is every week, and we've got a lot of other coverage this week because we were going to have a 5 o'clock hour long pregame show on 41 Action News. So, if you're bored with the afternoon football games and you really want to get yourself psyched up for the Chiefs game, tune in for that. Or, if you're having a barbecue, having some friends over, do us a favor, put on 41 Action News, watch the pregame show at 5 o'clock, get your group ready, then tear up some chicken wings from 6 to 7 o'clock and watch the game on 41 Action News.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I won't be in somebody's yard doing it.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're going to have a little potluck here at the station.
Did you just decide that right now? Because I've literally seen nothing on our company emails.
Well, Angie bought the smoker from Ron Bussey, and I think... we're going to try to do a little pulled pork.
I'm going to let her know because I'm 90% sure.
It was her idea.
Okay, well, you didn't tell me that part.
I'm sorry. You're down for bringing cheesy corn. All right, we'll be back here on 4th and 1.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB, add our channel, and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
It's your time to shine. Join me every Sunday night for Sunday Sound Off, an interactive sports show where we put you in our starting lineup, answer questions, voice your opinion, sound off with our panel of experts.
Sunday Sound Off, sponsored by TDR Auto Plaza.
One town, one team, one MVP. This season, a new flame will rise. Get ready, Casey. It's showtime. 41 Action News, your new home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And now for Nick's favorite part of the week, where I interact with you, the people of Twitter.
This is the highlight of my week every week. I just can't wait. All right, so your first question on Check the Tweet is going to be from Brian Hall. He asks, as far as we know, Ramsey, Peterson, Slay are all likely a no-go for a trade 4 games in. Who might be a legitimate target based on underperforming teams?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's still a little early because last year, when Houston started off slow, I thought Tyrann Mathieu might be an option. And then all of a sudden Houston won a couple games and got going. I mean, because I think at some point, when Cleveland got smoked by the Tennessee Titans open the season and they were kind of struggling a little bit, had they lost last week and then taken a couple other losses and all of a sudden they're sitting there at 1-5, maybe all of a sudden Cleveland becomes a viable trading partner. I still think it's a little bit early for the. I don't think any teams except for maybe like Denver, Arizona, Miami Dolphins, Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think there's a lot of teams that have kind of kept counted themselves out. So I think at this point, if I was a betting man, maybe Xavien Howard with Miami, I guess. I don't know.
All right, next question is going to be from Smoke Signal. He asked, what does releasing Jeff Allen mean for the offensive line? They don't seem to have a whole lot of depth, according to him.
Well, I mean, I think it means that they didn't think they could get Ryan Hunter through waivers and back onto the practice squad. So, I mean, I think that means that they're high on Ryan Hunter and they wanted to make sure that he was protected. That's because I think it was probably between him, Jeff Allen and Ryan Hunter.
Next question, and I ask, Todd, will you please keep it brief?
Yes.
I regret this one.
All right.
On Key asks, when is Patrick Mahomes bringing a Whataburger to Kansas City?
May 3rd.
Please don't.
2022.
Okay. It is a day that will...
Hey, you said keep it brief. Stop talking.
Yeah. Okay. Now, final question is going to be from Lance. And remember the last thing I told you. Lance asked, for Todd, was Matt Castle elite?
No, in fact, this is the one, and this is not going to be a short answer. This is Therese Paylor and I, when we both worked at the Star, had this argument. He was a Matt Castle fan. I told him I thought Matt Castle was trash. I was proven right. I also got yelled at by, I believe it was Matt Castle's uncle, when he threw a pick against Baltimore in the playoffs. If you remember, The Chiefs really had no business being in the playoffs that year, and the Ravens were clearly a better team. But Jamaal Charles, who was the only saving grace for that team, had a long touchdown run early, and you thought, oh, man, maybe if Jamaal Charles just goes off, if they can't stop the run, they'll have a chance. And then Matt Castle got confused and thought Will Demps was on the Chiefs team and kept throwing the ball to him and other members of the Baltimore secondary. And it went really south really fast because he couldn't recognize simple bracket coverage and cover two.
I wish I had music to play you off.
So I was in the stands yelling at Matt Castle about how I wished he would play better or something along those lines. And one of the other fans told me that I should always be supportive of our quarterback. And I told him I assumed you're related to him. And I'm still going to offer my constructive criticism to Mr. Matt Castle. But no, he was not elite and I was not a fan.
So that's all for this edition of Check the Tweets and Todd's final rant.
That's right. So, Matt, if you're out there, we'd love to have you on the podcast. So,
maybe I'm sure he can't wait. Sure, he can't wait to come on here with you.
Maybe next week.
You guys can form the next Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp of the world.
That would be amazing. So, all right, you got anything else to add?
That is definitely going to be all for this edition of Check the Tweets.
All right. And that's all for this edition of 4th and 1. We hope you guys didn't drive off the road in laughter because I know Nick was about to fall out of his chair. So
no, it wasn't because of that. I was taking a nap because it was going to be more productive than listening to you.
All right. Well, I'll try not to put you asleep when we record a podcast late Sunday after the Chiefs take on the Colts. What station is that game on?
Don't forget, you can watch it on 41 Action News at 5 o'clock. Our pregame show will start. Then the game starts at 7:20, and you will watch Todd and I light up our newsroom.
That's right.
In your minds. Yeah. You can actually see the fans do it during pregame. And then make sure you stay tuned to 41 Action News after the game, and you can watch our hour-long postgame show, which ideally will hopefully be 10:30. I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah,
it'll be after the game's over, so you don't have to change the channel.
Nope, just leave it right there. Yeah.
Just hide your remote from 5 o'clock until midnight.
That's right.
Fine.
That's right. That's a good game plan. And be sure to check out Nick's game plan for the Chiefs against the Colts, where he gives away critical information on kshp.com/Chiefs. Take care, kids.